time, so I hope you remember. You remember Brother Hendricks, and so it's his wife. And I'll tell you, she was a comical and a kind, compassionate friend. And so anyhow, I hope you'll pray with the family and for the family connected therewith. Let's sing happy birthday to Brother Ron. We'll do it a cappella without me. Arwen, come on, bring us a, give us a little thing here, a little crescendo and all that. I was going to just go ahead and let one of these boys here give us a note, but see, they love to use bass, and it's hard to sing happy birthday in bass.
Happy birthday.
All right, Brother Ron. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you. And happy birthday, God bless you. Happy birthday to you. Many more, many more. And so anyhow, I'm looking forward to Miss Kelly coming back. We've been missing her. Well, here, let's go ahead and sing to Miss Emily while we're there. Let's just go ahead and sing to her. She's going to have hers on Saturday. Friday. Okay, I knew it was close. It had to be close. So let's sing to her, and because well, I just want to. Here we go, right here. She's going to be turning 18, and here we go. All right, anybody want to say anything before we get started? Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday, God bless you. Happy birthday to you, and many more. Yeah, everybody likes to have that. Even Casey likes happy birthday. I've sung that so much to her, and every now and again she'll tell me she wants to sing that. Now, I know you couldn't communicate with her, but here's the reason why I know it. Because every time that I sing it to her, I always, whenever I come out, happy birthday, dear Casey. Then I whistle it. And she likes to join in on that. So if we're just sitting around and nothing's going on and she gives me that key, I know she's ready to sing happy birthday again. Yeah. Guarantee you right now, make no mistake about it. All right? All right, take your Bible, if you will, please, to the book of 1 John. Book of 1 John, we'll be looking there. And in that passage there tonight, chapter number 3, 1 John, chapter number 3, verse 11. If you're able to stand, then find the place, and we'll stand as we get ready to read a portion tonight. All right, verse 11. For this is the message that you've heard from the beginning, that we should love one another, not as Cain, who was of that wicked one and slew his brother. And wherefore slew he him? Because his own works were evil and his brother's righteous. Marvel not, my brethren, if the world hates you. We know that we have passed from death unto life because we love the brethren. He that loveth not his brother abideth in death. And whosoever hateth his brother is a murderer. And ye know that no murderer hath eternal life abiding in him. Hereby perceive we the love of God, because he laid down his life for us, that we ought to lay down our lives for the brethren. Our Father, we ask your blessings upon the reading of the word, and we do thank you for it, and how good it is to be once again back here in the house of God. Bless, I pray, these requests that have been mentioned tonight. And Lord, I pray you bless the word to every heart. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Thank you and be seated. I want to preach a little bit tonight on perceiving the love of God. Now, that's a perception that all of us ought to have, something about the love of God. Now, there's people die every day without hope, without God, busting hell wide open, and because they never perceived the love of God. You know what the love of God is? The love of God is he so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believed in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. I want to say to you, this is a never-ending message, and if you live many more years, it'll be the same message. In fact, you can look back at the thousands of years since the Lord Jesus Christ was here upon this earth, and since he bowed his head, gave up the ghost, and paid redemption, and you'll find it was a message that was even from the beginning, whenever God created the earth and man and the heavens and earth and all that's therein. The message is never going to change. It's always going to be the same. And fact is that whenever you begin to look into it, what is that message? That we ought to love one another. Now, that's a hard thing to be able to do. You know, the Bible says, love your enemies. I'm not real good at that, but God says that. We're not just to be good to them that are good to us, but you and I are to have the love of God in our heart and our life, and that we're to be able to preach the same message with our lip and life that God's been preaching since the beginning of time. Now, in the lesson that you're looking at, he made it very plain so that you didn't get it messed up. Verse 12, not as Cain. Now, Cain had a brother by the name of Abel. Abel was a man that believed in salvation in the blood-bought way. Cain was a man that believed in religion in the beautified way that he got from the ground, from the farm that he had and that he planted. We mentioned the other night something about him. After that, God put a mark upon him and drove him from it. He became a vagabond and so forth and on in the earth of which that he was once a part of. And God had then told him that you're not going to have the ground that's going to bring forth fruit unto you any longer. Now, here's a farmer that's had to leave and go to the city. And as a result of that, he done just exactly like that. This fugitive and vagabond, that's what God called him. And let me say to you, he was on the run for the rest of his life. Now, God says some pretty serious things about him here in the lesson in about verse number 13. Marvel not, my brethren, if the world hates you. Now, what he's talking about, that is the pivoting factor that caused Cain to rise up and slay his brother Abel. He was arguing with him about the sacrifice. He believed Abel was wrong. He believed God was wrong. He was angry at both of them. And he couldn't refute old Abel that believed the word of the Lord. And as a result of it, the hatred got so vehement in him and hot to boil that he rose up and that he slew his brother with a murderous intent. Let me tell you right now, they no doubt about it that old Cain died and went to hell without hope, without God. And here's the reason being why, because you know that no murderer has eternal life living within them. In the lesson that you're looking at, let me say to you, hate will make a murderer out of you. You know, there's some people I'm not real fond of, and there's some people, not here tonight, not one of them's here, but I see them every now and again up and down the road of life. And if I was going to start hating people, I've got a few names that I'd put down. But you know, as a result of that, you can't operate that way. If you operate that way, it'll eat you up from the inside out, see? And as a result of that, you're going to find out, the Bible said, we're not to be like Cain was that slew his brother Abel. And one of the things that he asked him and said that the reason why he did that, because of the fact that Abel was a righteous man and Cain slew him because his own works were evil. He was of that wicked one. He had the devil operating him, and as a result of that, he had a murderous heart. Now, I want you to notice, if you will, please, that in the lesson that we're looking at is that you'll find is that there's not just been him that does that. But in verse number 13, look at that passage there. He said, marvel not, my brethren, if the world hates you. Now, that's the very thing that God's telling us. Listen, Cain hated his own brother Abel. He shouldn't have, but he did with the murder that swelled up within him that he exercised upon his brother. Then he says to you and I, marvel not if the world hates you. You see, the reason why the world hates you and I is the same reason why Cain hated Abel. It's because their deeds are evil. They don't want to be reprimanded by the word of the Lord. You know, in the day and hour of which that we live, you're going to find a lot of people. Some of them be kin to you, some of them just people that you met. It's not hard to be able to yoke up and find buddies up and down the road of life if you don't preach to them. If you are preaching to them, it's going to be a different story. See, you and I can't believe that the Bible teaches us that a man's foes will be those of his own household. As a result of that, I've known people that have told me and said, you know, I'll tell you something, preacher, is that my family and I, earthly family, we're just not as close as we used to be. Well, let me tell you, that's with every one of us. here that live for God in the Bible. Now, unless all your kin folks are saved. I had a lady in church one time, and she was just thanking God that all of her people were saved. I thought, yes, and you're a nut, see? I mean, I would to God they were all saved, but they're just not. Of course, she's gone now. She's left the world. Whether she was saved in or out, up or down, I do not know. What I do know is that she knows different now, regardless of where she went. In this lesson that we're looking at, let me say to you, the Bible said that we ought to lay down our lives for the brethren. We ought not to be taking people's lives, but we ought to be laying down our life for the brethren. And let me say to you, whenever you do that and you carry the gospel unto them, is that it's the message of life, by the way, the gospel is. It's the power of God to salvation to everyone that believes it. Isn't it something that when you show somebody the way of salvation, they rise up in hostility and they want to kill you or have you slain? I remember one time whenever a man over in Louisiana, staunch Roman Catholic, he grew up. And of course he got saved. And when he got saved, we're talking about a grown man. We're talking about a man's already, I'm sure back then probably late 20s, early 30s, something like that or another. Boy, let me tell you right now, the fact he just came to our church made his mama hate us. And boy, she would tell me about it every now and again. I had a German shepherd, female German shepherd. I don't think it was the one that Brother Rocky had hemmed up against the fence and wouldn't let him move. I don't think it was that one there, but she was just that mean. But she came home one day with old Victor, that was his name, came home from Victor's mama's house with a big old chicken that was fat. And boy, it wasn't long, and here she come. I have you to know that your dog has killed all my chickens. And of course, I didn't have any money. We were so poor we couldn't pay attention, but I went ahead and played like I did and said, just tell me how much they're all worth, and I'm so sorry, and I'll pay you right now. Oh, no, I'm not. That's not why I came. I took that chicken and tied around that dog's after I took the legs of the chicken and beat her between the eyes with it until there wasn't much chicken left. Tied it around her neck. Told her that it would never happen again. And, of course, then it did not. But let me tell you, the real factor wasn't because that I had a chicken-catching German shepherd. Wasn't that. She hated me because somebody along the line baptistically had preached the message of Christ to her son, and he got saved by the grace of God, and she could tell the difference in what she had and what he had. Amen. I want to say that's the world that we're living in. Yes, sir. My folks are no different than your folks. And let me say, flesh is flesh anywhere you go. And if flesh doesn't have faith imparted by the Lord, it'll become furious. Why are you thinking the day and hour that we're living in, and don't be fooled by it? Did you see all of that out in, let me get my bearings here, out in the east part of the United States here, all these college kids and these campuses, and they've got some kind of ritual they're going through and baptizing in the back of a pickup truck and all that. I mean, it's a big phenomenon that's happening across the country. I could tell by just looking at them. I can tell by looking at them that what they've got's no more than any other Southern Baptist liberal that has absolutely no regard for God. You can tell a whole lot by the way people are dressing. You can tell a whole lot about where they're going, what they believe. You know, it's not just a matter of getting baptized in the back of a pickup truck and using the name that is above every name from your lips, because this Jesus that they're following doesn't make them have a dress code, doesn't make them dedicated to the Bible, does not cause repentance and faith in them. And they're having a good time just running up. And that's the kind of world we're living in. And if you want to see somebody get furious quick, you go to preaching to that crowd. You go to preaching to that crowd. In this lesson that we're looking at here tonight, you're going to find out the reaction of the world. And here's what he said: marvel not if the world hates you. They're going to hate you. You know, you would think that when you were given the message of life to somebody up and down the road of life, you would think somehow or another they'd be appreciative. But it's going to make you marvel. You're going to be astonished. It's going to be like one of those, well, I'll be jigger moments. How come they hate me? All I'm trying to do is trying to help their family. You know, when you got saved and all that business and you get around some of your kin folks, like your cousins and then your little old kids, they've grew up and they're listening to you preach and they're listening to you teach and they're listening to the Sunday school teacher and they're listening to the preacher. And buddy, when they get big enough to be able to know the difference between being in and out, up and down, saved or lost, they go and they start preaching to their families, your family's children. And oh my, now they wish you would go to hell. I had a little boy one time in church, and man, his mama was hot. What are you doing and telling these people and teaching these people? He's come to my house and got all my children scared they're going to hell. I said, probably the reason why is because the way you're leading them, that's probably where they're going to end up. I mean, if you don't care enough about your own children to bring them to the house of God and to put them under the preaching of the word of the Lord and try to witness to them with your lip and life, if you don't care enough, who in the name of God's going to? She didn't appreciate that at all, but that was the truth. And I was trying to be kind about it. Fact is, I was probably nicer than I'm telling you about it. I want to say to you that, if you will, over in the book of St. John, chapter number 15, about verse number 9. Now, there's several things that'll make you marvel that are in the Bible. And one of them that we've just got through reading is, marvel not if the world hates you. I mean, the world has no reason to hate us. The world ought to be appreciative of the fact that we know Christ and that we've obeyed the gospel to carry the gospel to a lost and to a dying world, and that when they hear it, they ought to be repentant toward God and faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. But they don't. They hate you for trying to help them go to heaven. In the book of John, St. John chapter 15, verse number 19, listen to what the passage there is, what he says in verse number 19, John 15. If you were of the world would love his own. But because you're not of the world, but you have he's chosen you out of the world, therefore the world hateth you. Look in verse number 13. Greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. And then he said, you're my friends if you do whatsoever that I command you. If you're not obedient to the word of the Lord, let me tell you right now, make no mistake about it, don't you marvel when the world hates you, because if you were of the world would love his own. There's another marvel that's in there in Ecclesiastes chapter number 5, and we'll take time to look at a couple of these, but in Ecclesiastes in chapter 5, in the passage there, here's what you're looking at. He said there in verse number 7 and verse number 8, chapter 5, Ecclesiastes. Now, if thou seest, Ecclesiastes 5, verse 7 and 8, he said, for the multitude of dreams, many words, there are also diversities of vanities. But fear their God, he says. If thou seest the oppression of the poor, in other words, the violent perverting judgment and justice in the province, says, marvel not at the matter, for he that is higher than the highest regardeth, and there be a higher than they. I want to tell you something right now. We're beginning to witness ourselves, if you watch very much of the news, of mayors that are liars and cheaters, and judges that are liars and cheaters, and people that are in the higher authority that'll just lie, they'll cheat and connive against people that are God-fearing. And I can tell you right now, I just shake my head and marvel at the fact that it's allowed to be able to go on. Well, that's what God said was going to happen. In the passages over there, remember that maniac at Gadara in the book of Mark chapter 5? I mean, there he was naked, cutting himself and running up and down, screaming and hollering like a wild animal in a graveyard. And one day he met Jesus. And Jesus cast all the devils out of him. He wanted to go with Jesus, but he suffered him not, told him to go and show your family and your friends at your house. And let me tell you right now, when people saw him from then on, they marveled how tame that he was and how peaceful that he was, the message that he had. Let me just say to you that, if you will, that we look at all of that and we realize and know that because God has given us a peace that passeth all understanding, don't think for one minute that others around you can't tell that. I've literally had people, you've literally had people, or at least you will. Well, how do you know for sure that you're saved? How do you know about the peace of God that passes all understanding? I'm going to tell you, you can't explain it, but I can tell you what, you can live it. And you can be glad that God imparted unto you the way of peace and the way of righteousness in being able to know him and the free pardon of sin. Remember that old boy by the name of Nicodemus came to Jesus by night trying to hide, ruler of the Jews, you remember? And Jesus began to tell him about the new birth. And boy, I'm going to tell you, it just completely, whenever he talked about being born again, it just blew old Nicodemus' mind. He said, how can a man be born when he's old? Can he enter back into his mother's womb again and be born? And Jesus went ahead and told him, so forth and on, the spirit goeth where he listed, thou hear the sound thereof, cannot tell whence he came or where he's going, so forth and on. But marvel not that I said unto thee, ye must be born again. You ever talk to anybody that was just as religious as the day is long, but they didn't feel like, you didn't feel like, they didn't seem like they had ever experienced the new birth? In other words, they didn't seem like that their spirit, your spirit, and God's spirit, didn't seem like that they just lined up somehow or another. He told Nicodemus, and he says, marvel not that I've said unto thee, ye must be born again. Let's close, if you will, please, tonight. The last one that we looked at over there, and that we'll look at for tonight, of course, there's two or three or four or five. There's about nine in total. But over there in the book of Galatians, chapter number 1, Paul the Apostle said to that church at Galatia, I marvel that ye are so soon removed from him that called you in to another gospel. How could you go to another gospel, another doctrine, another? And I got to tell you right now, in the day and hour that we're living in, every now and again I marvel at people that can all of a sudden just lay aside the old King James Bible. And all of a sudden, you know, now they're going after something else because it's easier to get along with. I got to say to you that, if you will, that when you perceive, as our text said, the love of God, if you perceive the love of God, you ought to be able to lay down your life for the brethren. And I'll tell you what will do that more than anything, if they can see Jesus living in you and I. I wonder tonight, do you know him in the free pardon of sin? I trust that you shall if you do not. And if you do, I trust that you, with your lip and life, are magnifying to a lost and dying world the Lord Jesus Christ. Let's stand to our feet. Our heads are bowed. Our Father, we thank you for letting us come together like this. We praise you and thank you that thou art God. Beside thee, there's none else. Thank you, Lord, for having heard and answered prayer. Thank you, Lord. Now we ask you to build a hedge about these boys and girls and men and women. Be with those that could not be here tonight. In Jesus' name.